Oh, give me louder than that. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good. You know, earlier I was standing up back there and I was like, there aren't very many people here. And I thought maybe it was me, but clearly I was wrong. There are more people here than it looks from the backside. I don't know about you, but that got me a little emotional watching that. I'm trying not to be tears up here, so just bear with me for a second as we start this thing. So if you've been coming to Grace for, I don't know, a couple months or longer now, you'll remember, hopefully, back in October, that we started a series called Making a Difference, and then there was a blank. Some of those were community, your church, and if you weren't here, it's not a big deal. I'm just kind of setting the scene. But for the month of January, our sermon series is going to be titled New Year, Same God, Same Commands, Same Mission, Same Church. The idea is that while we're out with the old for the new year and in with the new, there are some things that are constant, things that just don't change. Do you realize that? So our sermon series today is going to be out with the old, in with the new. New year, same God. So last week, Pastor Josh talked about New Year's resolutions. By show of hands, how many people set New Year's resolutions this year? Wow. Wow. We got some motivated individuals in this church. That is crazy. So it's not a bad thing to set New Year's resolutions, but it's a terrible thing to do if you're not serious about it. And God deserves that same attention and exact treatment for when we set things for Him. He wants to know that we're not going halfway in, we're going all the way in. He wants to know that we have the full intention of following through with what we said we would do. He desires a sincere relationship based on His attributes and qualities of His character. Think about that for a moment. You said you're going to do something, and you don't stand by it. You fail a week in. I'm not going to ask you out of the six people who raised their hand how many of you failed already. Because at least you set a resolution, I'll give you that, okay? So here's what I want you to do. At your tables, or if you're at chairs in the back, I want you to just take a few minutes here, and I want you to talk about some character qualities or attributes of God that you can come up with. For example, like God is loving, God is gracious. So I want you to just take a few minutes, come up with some of those for me. All right, I'm hearing the volume start to crank up. That tells me you guys have got through the list already. So just give me a couple. Let's share a few. Raise a hand. Give me one. Constant. Infinite. For us. Ubiquitous. Whew. Listen, this isn't a challenge to say bigger words. Give me one more. One from this side, come on. Holy. Those are great words, right? So just like the words we just came up with, and I'm sure there are more at your tables that we didn't share, anybody know what this is? Don't give me the crystal. What's the shape of it?
It's a diamond.
So how do you know it's not a diamond? Come on. So this is a diamond. So just like the words we just came up with to describe God, diamonds have what are referred to as facets. And a facet is really just a side or an edge. But if you look up the actual definition, they say that the definition of a facet is the window into the diamond. That's kind of cool, isn't it? When I read that, I was like, huh. I just side, edge. But a window into the center of it. And depending on how it is cut, you can get many facets, or you can get just a few facets. But just like the facets describe what the diamond looks like, give us insight into what the diamond looks like, the words we just used for God do the same exact thing. They give us some insight into who we see God as. And these God facets affect the reflection and appearance of God in our own lives and how others view us. So today, we're going to focus on three constant attributes of God as we start out 2024. And I'm sure some of these probably came up at your tables. We're going to talk about the fierceness of God, the forgiveness of God, and the faithfulness of God. So for the rest of the morning, my plan is to walk you through each of these three attributes using Scripture. First one we're going to talk about today is the fierceness of God. And this is typically something that we don't like to talk about. We don't want to focus on the fierceness of God. We want things that make us feel good. We want things that speak to a situation that we're struggling with and provides a little bit of hope or for our personal struggles. So think about this. As a child, if you are a child, think of it as a child. As an adult, think of it like when you were a child. Correction hurt. When you did something wrong and mom and dad corrected you, that punishment hurt. But as an adult, our way of seeing it should no longer be about the hurt or the pain of the correction. We should focus on the growth that comes from that. When we talk about the fierceness of God, we're talking about His anger and His wrath. Do you guys realize that God can be angry? And that God will provide wrath? Do you guys realize that? That's something we talk about. We need to remember that God does not hate us. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about here. As a matter of fact, He's a loving God. He loves us. He will correct the sinful nature inside of us, but He doesn't delight in doing this. But just like a parent, He understands that it's necessary. Parents in here, you ever corrected a kid? It's necessary, right? It is. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 7. And while you guys are turning there, I'm going to give you a little background as we look at a guy by the name of Achan. So the Israelites have been let go from Egypt. They've wandered in the desert for 40 years. And they are getting ready to enter into the promised land. And the first city that they see that they are supposed to take is Jericho. So we read in Joshua 6 the account of how God hands over the city of Jericho to the Israelites. In chapter 7, we read that God has given them specific things they are to do. The first thing is they are to destroy everything in the city with the exception of a lady named Rahab, who helped the Israelites in this, and her family. And then there are four precious metals that they are not to touch: gold, silver, bronze, and iron. All of those precious metals are to be given to the tabernacle treasury, and they are to be gifted to God as a thank you. Seems to go pretty easy. The end of the battle, the complete city is destroyed, the things are supposed to be given to God, and the Israelites are to take nothing for themselves. Not supplies, not food, not money, not gold, not anything. Shortly after the Battle of Jericho, the Israelites are moved on to the next city. The next city is Ai. And Ai is a smaller town, not nearly as fortified as Jericho. And so Joshua sends some spies, and their spies come back, and they're like, this is going to be cakewalk. We don't need to send nearly as many men to take the city of Ai. Joshua rounds up 3,000 soldiers, sends them in. Doesn't go so well. They get their butts kicked. They end up losing the battle, and 36 men lost their lives fighting to take the city of Ai. Joshua is completely beside himself. Doesn't understand how this happened. Doesn't understand what went wrong in this whole situation. Starts talking with the Lord. In his communication with God, God reveals that there are some Israelites who decided back at Jericho to not follow the rules. And they took some things for themselves. Joshua's pretty distraught. So Joshua goes through a process of narrowing down because he wants to know who did this. So he goes by tribe, by clan, then by family, and inside of that family, he goes person to person to person until he figures out that Achan is the guy. Enter Achan. So because he's now narrowed this down, we're going to read here in Joshua 7, 19 to 21. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me." Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath." So here's a thought for you. We're going to read a little bit more in chapter 7 here in a little bit. But as you continue to read the story of Achan, you see the fierceness of God. This stark reminder is what the penalty of sin is about. We also see two truths illustrated here in this story. Number one, sin has a ripple effect. It doesn't affect just you, it affects others. There are 36 soldiers in this story who lost their life because Achan didn't do what he was supposed to do. He couldn't follow the rules. And in turn, the whole Israelite army was defeated here. The second thing we see is we can be sure that our sin will find us out. There's no hiding evidence from God. I would be surprised if at some of these tables we didn't talk about God being all-knowing. There's no hiding from Him. He knew the sin that had been committed. So while we talk about the fierceness of God and how He dealt with Achan, we're going to now talk about a different character quality here. His character quality that we're going to talk about next is the forgiveness of God. God didn't create man to go around instituting wrath or punishment on every one of us. You'll get some, and you'll get some, you'll get some. That's not our God, okay? Instead, He shows us what forgiveness is like in a complete different change. The word forgive means to wipe the slate clean, to pardon or cancel debt. Forgiveness is not granted because a person deserves to be forgiven. When we wrong someone, we seek their forgiveness to restore a relationship. Forgiveness is an act of love, an act of mercy, and an act of grace. Forgiveness is a decision to not hold something against another person despite what they've done to you. The Bible is clear that because we are sinners, we all need forgiveness for God. In Acts 13:38, we hear, "Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. God desires to forgive us. He provided a way for our forgiveness." Turn with me to Matthew, if you would, chapter 18. And we're going to look at verses 21 to 22. And we're going to read a little bit of the parable of the unmerciful servant. In verse 21, we read, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times.'" I don't want you to focus on 7 versus 77. The 7 to 77 is not the number I want you to focus on. I want you to focus on how much more is 77 than 7. That's a lot, isn't it? It's not enough to do it a little bit. He's almost commanding us to go to an extreme when we look to forgive others. Our reading in Matthew points out two very important things. Number one, it's important to ask for forgiveness when we do wrong. And number two, it's important to forgive others when they wrong us. Both are equally important in God's eyes. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have you guys take a minute. And is there somebody today that you need to forgive? So we're going to take a minute or two, and we're going to ask God right here, right now, to help you forgive them as He has forgiven you, just right where you're at, a minute or two. Take it. All right. The third attribute I want to talk about today is another F word. It is the faithfulness of God. Scripture speaks often about God's faithfulness. To be faithful is to be reliable, steadfast, and unwavering. I don't know about you, I like having people like that in my life. And I can assure you that there's not a great number of them. What I really want you to focus on is, are you being that person to somebody else? Are you giving that opportunity to someone? That gift. If you remember from our November Bible reading, we looked at the story of Ruth. Naomi is a widower living in a foreign land with her two daughter-in-laws. She's lost her husband and both her sons, which leaves the three women with just themselves. So Naomi decides to pack everything up, and she's going to head back to where she's from, to the city of Bethlehem. And she has a daughter-in-law by the name of Ruth, who decides, I'm going to go with her. And Ruth is kind of stubborn about it, which is okay. But Naomi is persistent in the fact that she doesn't have to do this. As a matter of fact, the other sister-in-law goes back to Moab. But she says, Ruth, you don't have to do this. I'm not going to hold it against you. We're good. But Ruth, that's not how Ruth runs. Ruth is a faithful person. She gives up the very place she is known in Moab and follows Naomi. She's faithful, so faithful that she leaves what is comfortable to her to go to a foreign land where she's literally nobody. And not only is she willing to stick with Naomi, she becomes the sole breadwinner for the two of them. She goes out to the field, she collects the food, she does everything for her. And in the end, she eventually becomes the redeemer for both Naomi and her. That's how faithful she is. So in Ruth 1:16 through 18, we read, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there, I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me.' Then Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her. She stopped urging her." So think about your own lives. Is there somebody in your life who has demonstrated that same kind of faithfulness that we see from Ruth to Naomi? Or are you the person who has demonstrated that same kind of faithfulness to somebody else? Think about that. So now that we've taken a look at the three attributes or character qualities of God, it's not enough to just hear the stories. It's not enough to just read the scripture passages. Now we have to look, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to apply it to our own lives? And by our own lives, I don't mean once in a while, but daily. How are we going to start to use this? So there are really three main applications here that I want to point out to you guys. And the first one is, living obediently turns away the fierceness of God's wrath. Listen, the sin that Achan did was grave. Israel was told, do not plunder this city. And he did it anyways. Parents, you ever told a kid not to do something and they do it anyways? I love the chuckles because I think we all have been there, right? See, God's response to what Achan did was swift and fierce. And it was because what Achan did was deliberate. When we read further in Joshua 7, verse 24 through 26, it says, then Joshua, together with all of Israel, took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold bar, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, sheep, his tent, and all that he had. How much? All of it, right? To the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today. Then all of Israel, how much? All of Israel, stoned him. And after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. That's pretty fierce. I just once in a while will swat a kid on the butt and say, you did wrong. That's a lot. Over Achan, they heaped a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. That's a pretty big response. A pretty big response to something God had said, do not do. There are a few things probably we can all think of that God said, do not do. And we do it anyways. So we have a choice to make. Are we going to continue to stir up the fierceness of God and His wrath? Or are we going to obey Him? Let's put it this way. Are you willing to take the risk of God's fierceness and wrath for your disobedience? Let that sink in. Are you willing to take the risk? And I'm not guilting you here. I'm just saying there are some things in our lives that we know we need to correct. Are you willing to take that risk? The second application point I want to talk about today is when we forgive like God has forgiven us, everyone is blessed. As a Christian, forgiveness is one of the hardest things in my mind to wrap your head around. The world thinks we should forgive by accepting everything it decides is good and worthy. It's really been perverted if you want to think about it. But God calls us to be forgiving in a much different way. With God, let me put that, with God, we have the power to wipe slates clean, give new beginnings, cancel debts, no grudges, no sour feelings, no hidden agendas, no manipulation. These are not what God wants from us. Those things are not what God wants from us. See, God sent His Son to pay the price for each of us, so our sins have been paid for, our debts forgiven. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, we read, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Earlier I had you think about somebody who had wronged you. This week, I want you to pray for that person often. And if God leads you, sit down with them this week and forgive them for whatever it is created this situation. Pray for them often this week, and if God leads you, sit down with them. The third point of application I want to make today is the faithfulness of God demands loyalty during good times and bad. God is faithful in a way that most of us will never fully understand. We sit at the table earlier and we talk about the character qualities, and we come up with them, And we're really good at putting names to things, adjectives to how we describe him. Do we truly understand how they are affecting our lives? So faithfulness is one of those. See, Ruth was a loyal person to Naomi during good times and during bad times. Naomi, in turn, at the end of the story, celebrates with Ruth as they are both redeemed by a guy named Boaz. So this week, is there someone you could come alongside this week who is struggling? Someone you know, someone you work with, maybe just a casual acquaintance. Or maybe there's somebody in your life this week who should be celebrating something because something good really happened to them. Good things deserve to be celebrated. Either way, pray about it. Let's see if God will move you in the direction of that person for this purpose. All right, so I am running ahead of schedule this morning. Okay? Somebody chuckled. I like that. That was an evil chuckle, but I like it. So, PD and I had talked about this. We have something kind of special we want to do today with you guys, and it's something kind of off the beaten path, and it happens once in a while, and today it's going to happen. So before I close you guys in prayer today, I want to take a few minutes and offer some time for each of us to talk with God. We have tables, we have chairs. You can do that at either of those. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the front. If you guys want to come up front and have a seat, take a knee, wherever you're most comfortable, the whole purpose of this is to communicate with God. Okay? Our goal is for us to reflect on each of the three attributes we just talked about today. So is there a sin in your life that you keep struggling with and would like to ask God for help? Is there someone you need help forgiving or someone you need to ask for forgiveness from but just haven't found the right time? Or you don't even know where to start. And if you don't know where to start, let's ask God to help you figure that out. Okay? Is there a person who has shown you faithfulness that you would like to thank God for sending you? Or is there somebody in your life that you need to return the favor to, but you, again, don't know where to start? And you're worried that if you do, you'll be rejected. Or it could be merely that you just need time to thank God because you haven't taken time during the week to do that. For whatever. Okay? And this isn't just a casual thank you. I want you to take this time sincerely and thank God, who is a constant in your life. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take about 4 or 5 minutes. Okay? And I want you to sincerely have a conversation with God about whatever you're struggling with today. And if you need somebody to help pray with you, I'm sure I can find a few members of the prayer team and a few others who would be glad to help us. And if you need that, you can come up here, raise your hand, I'll come find you, and we'll bring somebody to you. So it's about almost 11:13 now. So let's go 11:18. We'll go back to closing prayer. So take about 5 minutes here, okay? A few times. I know you think it would be easy for me to skip that 5 minutes, but the reality is I did it multiple times, and it's a powerful thing to do for each of us. 5 minutes out of a whole day, how crazy that can change your life. So, Father, I want to close us with prayer here. Father, we talked about your three attributes today, your fierceness, your forgiveness, and your faithfulness. Father, we just ask that you help us move further and further away from the sin in our lives. and much closer to you. We know that in turn, even when we do wrong, you are faithful, God. You are standing with us, and you are always there to help pick us up when we fall. You are there when we need to celebrate, and you are there when we have others come alongside of us. Father, I don't know what more to say. Forgive us for doing the things we do to you that we don't even mean to do. And thank you for your continued blessings. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Lisa's got a couple announcements here.
I do. Before I have an announcement,